raise your hands all up in the air.
Holy shit!
We're back.
Opening with a big curse word. No YouTube monetization for this video.
Fuck.
That's right. Not family friendly. Not advertiser friendly. It's the Digital Press Podcast. And we're back.
Episode what?
Oh, don't make
me. Yeah, I don't know.
I have no idea. Season.
We should start using letters.
Episode something. Yeah.
Season A, episode beta.
This is actually a prequel episode.
No, you should just talk, just move your mouth, and then we'll dub it in later.
Yeah, there you go.
Yeah. You move your mouth, and I'll
episode.
Dub it.
Be like Voltron.
Or the Thunderbirds puppets.
Oh, yeah.
So, a lot has happened in the past, 5 months since we've done an episode. Again, I've escaped death. I'm literally like a video game character. The hearts keep running out, and I managed to just find treasure chests at the last minute. So I'm back again, and knock wood, hopefully I can make it through a year without any kind of crazy medical complications, and you guys can, all 10 of you, can keep enjoying continued episodes of the Digital Press Podcast. Our super fan was asking me the other day how I'm doing, when are we going to be recording an episode again, so this one's for you. It's always for you.
I'm not sure if anyone else is
listening.
He just has multiple accounts.
Or Frankie is just the real life version of that horrible Johnny Depp movie where they tried to transfer his consciousness.
Benny and June?
Yeah. If I do die, I'll transfer my consciousness into my iPad. And, you know.
That'll just make everything easier.
Yep. That's right. Can record the episodes. And,
when we're done, we'll just put you in the basement.
So, a lot has happened in the world of micro console gaming, I guess, as it's come, you know, the genre, the emerging genre of small boxes with non-proprietary operating systems that run ROMs, right?
Wait a minute, you're not talking about the miniature game boxes of classic systems?
You mean like the NES Classic?
No.
The Atari...
The miniature game boxes. Have we ever talked about that?
Mm. I don't think so.
No.
I think that these
Please enlighten our viewers.
No, I don't remember what they're called off the top of my head, but they're basically they've been making, let's say, like a, you know, there's an NES action set box, which is normally like yay big. Mm-hmm. Somebody is printing like a cardboard box about this big.
Oh. Yeah.
And they sell them, and then you put them on their shelf. It's like a Funko.
Yeah. I get it. It goes with your action figures and that.
For Shelf Queen.
I don't know. I know. I just don't know if those are, if they, I don't think they're licensed or anything like that. But
that's stupid.
One day.
We're talking about a different type of Atari box. We're talking about the Atari box.
Oh, no.
From the current IP holders at Atari. You know, they don't just make Matchbox cars and T-shirts that you can find in Target and belt buckles and little LCD games. They are coming back strong with the Atari box, which
we...
I'll give them credit. It's a gorgeous-looking piece of plastic.
It's a gorgeous-looking render. I don't think we've seen a physical thing.
Yeah, it's
thing
not
yet.
Plastic. Oh,
okay. Well, yeah. It's a gorgeous-looking 3D concept. I don't know. It's got wood grain on one model and Vader black on the other model, and it's reminiscent of an Atari 2600. It's got the grill look that everybody who's ever thrifted for an Atari 2600 knows. You got to bring it home, bust out the toothbrush and the foaming cleanser.
Yeah.
Get in that grill.
A Q-tip is the right size.
Yeah. you know, or I've seen people that take them apart and put them in dishwasher.
Oh, I see that all the
plastic.
Time.
Like, I don't know. That's I feel like my dishwasher would melt it.
Yeah. But also, like, that's so much work. Yeah. Like, how? What could it have gone through that you have to disinfect it to that extent?
I can't imagine that's good for, I mean, the plastics can't
time.
Be... It, that plastic's yeah. dishwasher safe?
Probably. I don't know.
So, well, I wouldn't put it in a dishwasher. I mean, you could, rinse it out in a sink or something.
Yeah, mm-hmm. yeah.
Yeah, but no, I see people who literally put them in dishwashers.
It's crazy. They'll take pictures of it, too, and be like, cleaning my shit. I see people that do it to stuff that they've owned for years and have already done this to, and it's like, what are you doing to it that you feel the need that you have to get your own essence off of it?
I've seen people put gaming computer motherboards in dishwashers.
That's crazy.
Yes, I've seen that with arcade repairs, too.
And they say as long as it's completely dry... And it's and the only thing
and
that
it was
touches
discharged
it,
prior.
Yeah, is water. And it, yeah, if it has no capacitors that are cracked open that would like burst when it would come into contact with anything, it's a safe apparently a safe way. Yeah, it's all silicone and or silicone.
I'll just open it up, crank up the air compressor. And
exactly.
Yeah. Well, the weirdest thing I see too is with the CRT people with the arcade machines, they take their tubes out.
They don't put that in the dishwasher.
No, they bring it to their front yard.
Oh, they blast it with the hose.
Yeah. And then they let it sit out in the sun all day, and it's like so weird to me. But
it doesn't seem right. Like you never would think, if you grew up in the 70s or 80s, you wouldn't think of taking apart your old tube TV and blasting it with the garden hose.
For maintenance.
Throw it out.
Yeah.
Buy another one
and put it on top of the old one.
It's one of those things you see it at first and you're like, wait, no. And then if you know anything about it and you think about it, you're like, that's not a bad idea.
I don't know. So, Atari. The Atari box. It's going to be a Linux-based.
Who owns Atari now?
It's the same people. Mm-hmm.
Whoever's owned the IP for...
It's Infogrames
same,
or whatever.
Yeah, people have been doing it since the Flashback came out, I think.
It's in Paris.
They are, France. You know, I mean, they're essentially... They're just a licensor of the IP at this point.
But they're more reliable, and it's not like the Coleco IP.
Where, oh, no.
Yeah,
no,
this
no,
is I like mean, a company that...
They're very good at making Matchbox cars, or Hot Wheels, or whatever they are. They're, you can't miss those things. You can find those things at every drugstore, supermarket, Five Below, Hot Topic, eBay, Page, everything,
They've
everywhere.
Shown that they're not too protective of the IP, but also not stupid enough that they're not just blowing... They're making money. You know what I mean?
Yeah, they know how to... You know, it's like... Well, it's like when Marvel came close to going bankrupt in the early 2000s. They... essentially became the juggernaut that they are to become attractive enough for Disney to purchase them. Mm-hmm. They did that by not by making more comic books or making better comic books or anything with comic books at all. What they did was they took all their popular characters and they at first they sold their company to Toy Biz. Mm-hmm. Marvel were like, we make more money selling action figures to kids than we do selling comics. So Toy Biz clearly knows what they're doing. And then when Toy Biz eventually... bit the big one in an oversaturated market of toys and action figures, then Marvel decided to get into the movie business and the rest is history. You know, Marvel movies beginning with Blade, I think, have generally been all profit wielding. There was never any.
Yeah, Marvel hasn't really had a flop yet.
And the MCU. Now Marvel is so rich with cash that they want to buy back all the properties that they have like licensed out. You know, they get lucky with a company like Sony who played ball with Spider-Man. But
I don't think they got it. They didn't buy it back though. I think Sony's
no,
just
Sony
like,
still
they're lending
right.
Spider-Man
never
to them.
Give that up.
They're not going to give it up part and parcel. It's like we will work with you. We'll share. We'll do a profit sharing thing.
Yeah,
but you know we.
At this point,
even though we've made so many bad Spider-Man movies by ourselves,
yeah. Well, that was the reason.
I love how before they made the Marvel Spider-Man movie, Sony was like, "We're going to try it one more time."
Yeah, those were. If you've seen them, they're pretty stinky. And Universal does not want. Universal has the rights to Solo Hulk, so I mean, even though Marvel owns the character, they can't make a Hulk movie without Universal, and apparently Universal hates making money. So they don't
the
want
Hulk
to,
movies made money.
Hey, at this point, if they did one with Mark Ruffalo and they could use the Avengers, you know, they could have, you know, I mean, look at this latest Thor movie that's about to drop. I mean, I've heard great early press, and it looks like a Ruffalo Hemsworth road trip movie or something.
like a buddy cop movie.
Oh, I forget. Wait, yeah, who's directing? I remember
Taika Waititi.
Yeah, the way he wanted to make the Thor movie, and they asked him like, why should we make it, dude? He's like, let me make a film real quick using the character. So what he did was he made a short film that he uploaded to YouTube of what Thor was doing during Civil War.
Oh, that, yeah.
And he's some Australian guy's roommate.
It's really funny. And apparently it's canon.
You know, well, what Kevin was Thor doing?
Says that that's what Thor was doing. He's renting a room with somebody.
I gotta see that.
He plays a prank on his roommate. He puts Morjorn on the toilet.
Oh, shit.
And the roommate's just like, oh, I gotta shit so bad.
So, yeah, Thor and Hulk and Atari. Atari. So this box is going to be a Linux-based ROM and EXE running machine.
Have they really told us much of what it's going to do? Besides being a glorified flashback, they said it's going to have its own stuff on it.
Yeah, how's it going to be different than a
flashback? No, it's going to have an online marketplace. It's
a flop.
Have they told us why this is going to do better than the Ouya?
I don't know, man. And I love, you know, everybody knows I love Ouya. I was like Captain Ouya for the first three seasons of this podcast, and I have no ill will towards it, but it's unfortunately not a successful. So, somebody gonna get that?
It's not a successful
business venture, apparently, to, you know, micro consoles with their own dedicated marketplace.
The big problem is like
you can't go up against Steam.
Exactly,
you can't go up against Steam.
No, yeah. There's so many big companies trying right now, and
even Steam hasn't proven to be incredibly successful as a plug-in TV concept.
Oh, that's right. They tried that. I forgot.
You know, they were. Did they actually ever produce a Steam box?
No,
PC micro PC.
Not that I know of.
Just the controller.
They made the controller, they made an OS system where Steam turns into basically like what a PS3 or Xbox One has, and I think eventually someone at marketing figured out that like it would be a lot more lucrative to just have the product, like the OS and the controllers available, and if anybody wants to make it, because you know the entire PC community just makes their own computers anyway, if they want to make that box, let them do it. Instead of us making it and trying it to sell to these people that already know they can make it for either, well, not cheaper at the time when it comes out, but in a couple of years cheaper. Because like when the Xbox One came out, making a computer that was on par with that was really expensive. Possible, but expensive. And now today, it's simple. Your average gaming PC that's like considered, what's it called, affordable, could be on par with an Xbox One or PS4.
Well, it sounds like Steam tapped out before they even... You know, they were smart enough to have projected whatever the potential profit versus loss would be on something like that.
Yeah.
And we were like,
making your own hardware is very tough.
Mm. Yeah. So who does the Atari box appeal to? You've got people that are out there buying the flashbacks,
mm-hmm.
you know, the annualized impulse purchase.
Yeah, what are they at, like 14, 15 now, something like that?
And they've revised it this year, and it looks very nice, the HDMI edition.
Yeah.
It's going to have...
Yeah, but the Activision still hasn't come out, and
mm-hmm.
I don't know how you get it.
That's a big thing, like just a selection of games.
Well, that's the problem, is there's four or five different versions, all mm-hmm. with... Some have slightly different games.
Mm-hmm.
Or does it come with the paddles? Does it not come with the paddles? It's very confusing. And then they kind of, at games, kind of screwed themselves when they sent out defective units to the testers and the beta, and not the reviewers, even worse. And the reviewer, the few reviewers, who still do this,
both the
Genesis and
the Sega one.
The Genesis one, yes.
That was disastrous.
But they've apparently fixed it. The late reviews on...
I feel like that's not, like, it's only like a Band-Aid, though, because... Everybody heard the bad press already.
But even the people that got like working ones, they said it's still like the compatibility is still the same as it was before with the cartridge slot. The colors are still off, the audio's still off, and the controllers.
Oh, the audio's nowhere near as bad as it was on the FireCore. I've seen videos. It might be a little flat, but it's not it's not as bad as it's not the pitch, out of tune pitch that the FireCore Genesis units were. Like those, every game I could tolerate it, but every game sounded like it was like a octave or something.
Well, the one I'm comparing it to is the past few generations that were the little.
They all use the same exact emulation core. It's called FireCore, and they may have made like minor changes to it, but
that's the problem.
They've never overhauled it. They didn't in 10 years. They didn't.
Money.
Well, that's the problem because it's like if you have like a custom ASIC or something like that, you're not going to want to revise that because prototyping and production. That's expensive. So they're just going to keep doing the same thing over and over.
Sure. Because they keep selling because it's still impulse buys. It's still people that go to stores. They don't know any better. They don't know you.
We might be back. Not sure.
Anyway, so, I also they're missing some key games. I think there really is no reason to be missing them. Why is there no Streets of Rage?
That was a weird one for me because they had Streets of Rage at some point, didn't they?
Yes.
Yeah, one of them has the Streets of Rage games on it, and then it's like they swap in and out. They never keep building.
Well,
like,
I think what they
I feel like they do that because they still want to just play with people by saying look at this one has this, but then look at that other one that has that.
This is the only. I mean, this is their only offering, really. Right. And from what I was told is that it's, believe it or not, even though it's all Sega, it still comes down to licensing, so they may have looked at it, and Streets of Rage might have cost them $2 a unit versus...
at the same time they dropped Streets of Rage, they picked up Mortal Kombat.
Yeah. Midway slipped a few in there.
Right.
Because that was real big, that generation, I remember, because...
Yeah, and that was published by Acclaim, which isn't even around anymore. Probe.
Well, Midway, same company.
But real big on the box, has Mortal Kombat. But no Streets of Rage.
Yeah, it's very strange. I don't know. But anyway,
so you've got that. So you have that marketplace. Like that has proven to be a surefire annual Christmas time.
Yeah, because they only cost $50 or $60.
Right. Exactly.
Yeah, and they'll sell to anyone.
What's this thing going to cost?
And then you've got the other. So you've got the Atari, historical Atari, and us. You've got us, the people who grew up with Ataris that collect Atari stuff. That have multiple real Atari hardware. Some of them may be modified for better output. Some of them may be, valuable. I mean, are you marketing to us? Because I don't think we want that. We don't want a Ouya type thing that's made by Atari that's going to play the Atari games. We've already got Harmony cartridges. We've already got massive collections of physical carts. Atari doesn't. It's not that hard to make Atari look decent on an HD TV. It's not, impossible. It's not as hard as like a Super Nintendo or a Genesis, which needs a SCART to an HDMI to or
I think most people. I think you're talking about two kind of separate people. One person is the type of person who really just wants to play their favorite games they remember. So in terms of Nintendo, will say it's really Mario 3, maybe Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles 2.
There's a price on that though, and that's the main thing here, because like Greg was saying, flashbacks are like $50-$60. This I think
is $300.
$300 versus the other person, which is like the enthusiast. But the thing is, the enthusiast has a lot of options that already exist.
Yeah,
whether it's FPGA,
and stuff like that.
Only
that kind of emulation.
I see this appealing to is I know there are people that are excited that there's going to be a new Atari home console, and it's just there's really no reason for there to be. They're like, I want Atari to get back in the console war. It's like, why?
That's ridiculous.
Those are people
want Sega coming back.
Delusional
people.
But it's what would it benefit? Are they going to make good games again because they have to pay less for licensing now because it's on their own console? It doesn't work that way.
Well, it's funny. So many of the Facebook posts on the Atari Age Facebook group, it's like a redo of the stupid chameleon.
Yeah.
Oh, my God. We can't get away from the chameleon.
People were like, I don't want the chameleon. I just want them to produce the shells. Like, what are you doing? Are you taking the innards and periodically changing the shell on your Jaguar? What are you doing? And then they're like, I just want the shell. They're all like, I want the shell.
You got a feng shui or Jaguar.
And we're going to actually do it. They just want it to collect it.
But it's not, it has no historical significance.
Yeah. And this thing has...
It looks like a... honestly, when I looked at that rendering, it looks like a Pizza Hut. Hut building in Atari colors.
Yeah.
That's what it looks like.
Next year we're going to get a Dreamcast shaped like a Howard Johnson.
Shape. What is it? I don't know what it's called.
Pagoda?
Yeah.
It's like a pagoda type.
Not parallelogram. Rhombus. Not rhombus. I don't remember.
Game Rhombus. This.
It's... So, the question is, who is this for? It's not for us. It's certainly... I don't believe it's for... the high-end Atari collector, I don't think it's for that yearly... I mean, someone who wants to plunk down $40 for a flashback, I think they're going to have a hard time even, like, with the HDMI pricing that's, like, $60 or $70 or $80 for the HDMI version. They're probably still going to... At Games is smart. They're still making a composite out version.
Although at that point, even that's going to have to change because TVs don't accept that shit anymore.
That's the only reason.
That's the only reason they have HDMI outs now and things because you have to.
I know so many people are like, oh, Hyperkin is so smart. They're finally making an HDMI NES thing because they have their retro HD now. And I'm like, no, they have to because like 4K TVs don't use composite and they can't register anything below 40p. So you have to have something that does HDMI and outputs a higher signal, or else you're forcing these people to buy an adapter, and they won't. That's a larger investment. It's too complicated for them. It's one more thing to plug into the TV, and they're like, "No, $20. I'm returning it."
You know, when you think about these, where the new TVs are going, it makes you wonder why no one has in the retro community. Why no one has bothered to do what the FrameMeister people did. And the FrameMeister is old now. I mean, how old is that?
Oh, it's discontinued. They don't even make them anymore, right?
Don't make them?
They're gone. They're done.
Oh.
There's no new FrameMeisters being produced. So people are...
They were just done for, like, the arcade enthusiasts and stuff like that, right?
The people who have them, good for them. It's, you know, it was always expensive. It never came down.
Yeah, now
so you're talking about making a budget-priced version of that, like something for the masses?
Not even budget-priced. Maybe for like $200 or something RGB for classic gamers that they want to... not everybody... Yes, I guess you could play stuff on CRT. I mean, I do. Mm-hmm. But, I mean, at some point, TVs break the LCD and the plasmas don't last as long as the CRTs ever did. So when your TV breaks or whatever for whatever the reason, and now you go to the Best Buy, you buy a new one, and it doesn't take 240p at all. What do you do?
Well, I see a lot of the distributors that sell the like reproduction NES controllers and all that. They're starting to get into the adapter market, not making good ones, but cheap ones that like a store like this can buy for a smaller price, and then we can sell it for like $20-30. They slap their brand on it, but it's the same one you buy from China that does composite the HDMI, and it upscales it, but doesn't actually make it look better. It just makes it work. And that's the main thing, is the main audience isn't us, it's them.
Yeah. They're not going to care about like scan lines, things like that. They just want to get a picture of the damn thing.
The guy that comes in here, he hasn't touched an NES game in 30 years, and all of a sudden he wants to play Super Mario Bros. 3. He buys an NES, and I ask him, do you have a 4K TV? He says yes, and I'm like, well, you're going to need this adapter. It's $30.
I mean, they don't even care whether it's like stretched widescreen, things like that.
Yeah, they just want it to work.
They just
want to
see an image.
Well, anyway, so Atari box, I don't know.
Yeah, I mean... We have yet to even see anything materialize because, surprise, surprise, it's going to be a crowdfunded venture.
I'm getting so sick of it.
On top of everything else. I mean...
No one can afford to make their own shit anymore.
Well, because look, I mean, I think we've had a discussion before where I was talking about like crowdfunding and like Kickstarter. It should be about like literally kickstarting. As in like, look, we want to get our foot in the door. Not like it's not really designed for you fund everything for us up front and we keep the profits.
push.
Yeah.
It's like what happened to good old-fashioned capital investment? Just get a couple rich billionaires.
Little bank. How did things ever get done? You went to a bank.
Yeah but then I have to pay interest.
Really, they probably exist anymore.
I'd much rather just ask a bunch of strangers for a couple hundred dollars and I'll promise them a poster.
Well, that's the thing. The reason why people like to do that is because they don't have to take the risk then. It's not on them to, because if you go to the bank, you get a loan, they're going to want their money back.
Yeah, exactly.
Whereas, like, you know.
With interest.
Yeah. Whereas if you go, you know, take, give me $20 here, $20 there, you know, add it up to like a million. We want $1 million to make a game or to make something.
Yeah, ask 100.
Then whether if it doesn't work, it doesn't work. It's not on you.
So. Segueing from a console that has literally doesn't have a prototype at this point, it's vape as vaporware comes, to one that does have a working prototype, and a lot of people have had the pleasure. Yeah,
sorry, let me just interject. That's the distinction.
Yeah,
it's like if it was like, listen, we need this to for the prototyping stage, just so we can then bring it to private investors and bring it to a bank, just to show that we've got something.
Yeah.
That would be different. It's like, listen, we need, you know, I don't know, 20,000, 30,000, even if it's like 70,000 or something like that.
But why don't just take to put it together? Pre-orders? You just take, all right, we need 3,000 pre-orders or we don't think we can make this. All right, well, wait till you get 3,000 pre-orders and then try and make it.
I just wanted to clarify that distinction.
No apologies necessary. It's Kickstarter is essentially pre-ordering, in a roundabout way, in a way that's safe for consumers, if the project doesn't meet its goal, nothing lost there for people who are potential investors, because Kickstarter won't take the money unless the goal is met, and then at that point, someone can take the money and run.
I think I have a real problem with the term like backer and investor in those that context, because that implies that. Profit sharing. That implies you have, which there really should be under these circumstances.
But in this case, it's
you. Hopeless dreamer. Let's just call them hopeless dreamers, not backers or investors.
They got put in the credits.
Hopeless dreamers.
Yeah, exactly.
That
I don't know.
Long part of the credits.
Oh yeah, what game came out recently?
It was Mighty No. 9 did that, didn't they? Like 3 hour. It had like a 3 hour long credit sequence.
Yeah, I mean, any game that promises. Your name in the credits or in a thank you section at a very low level of entry, you're going to get a lot of that. You're going to get a lot of that. A long credit roll.
What's even the appeal to that, being in the credits of a game when it's you and it's really another
you're
people?
You're just looking at a phone book.
Hey, I've had my name in a couple things, and I'm always happy to point it out to my wife. Like, look, I'm in this book. It says that we took your money. Thank you. Here's your name.
Thanks.
Be a note, like what part of the book your money went. Page 5, lower left corner.
Yeah, you get one part that's like highlighted, and it's like there you go.
that's your
$20.
These words wouldn't be possible without the donation.
The footnotes, this sentence made possible.
It'll
by
make
Frankie
the
Vitarella.
Books 20 times thicker because there's an asterisk after every sentence.
If I could get like. Alan Cumming, like in the beginning of PBS Mystery Theater, to say, this video game wouldn't be possible without a grant from Frankie Vitarello. That'd be my dream. Alan Cumming, if you're listening, we'll talk. So there is a system, though, that has been making the rounds at conventions and YouTube reviews.
Is it the C64 Mini?
No. I can't. Speaking of that, briefly, we'll get back to this next console. I can't believe the C64 Mini is like a locked down. You know, you only get X amount of games on it. It's not. It's not a full operating Commodore 64 that
Who
you.
Who says
can,
it's not?
The people. The people behind it. Yeah. They're saying it's going to have. Predetermined games on it that they can get the licenses for, and that's it. That it's not going to have an SD card slot. It's not going to have the ability to add games or run disk images.
Euros.
I do. I would if the C64 Mini could run disk images, and if it turns out that it's easily hackable and you can add disk or tape images, I'll pick one up in a heartbeat if it has good compatibility.
Well, that's another one. A project where they have a website and all that. And everybody's like, oh, they're talking about it, but they have nothing, they have no release date, they have nothing in the future, nothing listed that this thing is actually going to be made. There's nothing.
Yeah.
And this is the same company who promised to do something a couple of years ago and never did it.
Hmm.
So for all the hoopla, I'll believe it when I see it.
Yeah, that's another one. Now, see if we can get the words out. The console is called the Seedi, Seedi, and it
that
is
sounds like a porno.
It does. It's not a great name in the same way that TNA wasn't a great name for a wrestling organization. You know, it's like tits and ass. But the Seedi is like, is this a dive bar? Is it a Seedi dance club? Is it a Seedi part of town? Maybe that's the gag. Maybe they think it's funny. Maybe the people behind it think it's a great name. The one, the Retro Blocks, turned into something else that it was an awful, awful name.
It was the Poly
Mega. Now it's Poly Mega.
Poly Mega.
Is it for people who have can have open relationships with multiple
many
wives and husbands? Like, is it a console that inspires polyamory? I don't know, but it just doesn't sound great to me. It doesn't sound as good as Retro Blocks. At least, you know, blocks, video games, classic games are blocky. The console has like parts that are blocky.
Yeah,
that's
modular, that so it makes modular. Sense. These are the Retro Blocks of the Retro Block.
Now, I think this Seedi system, which has its own, I believe, a proprietary OS. I don't know if it's based in Linux or Android or what, but it's going to be able to play all the CD generation of consoles, Sega CD, 3DO, Turbo CD, Jaguar CD, PC Engine CD. As long as emulation cores exist for those, they've adapted them. So this is an interesting thing, and I have seen physical manufactured prototypes of it. They are literally in the hands of other YouTubers out there. You can look it up now. You can stop listening to this. Turn
it's
us off. And go away and go watch those. Or you can watch them later.
Actually, it also... Well, it's not Blu-ray, but it can run DVDs and CDs and can also burn them.
They used to... Yeah. Well, I mean, it's probably cheaper at this point to get an all-in-one drive like
the DVR,
than it is.
I can't remember
the last
time.
It's probably impossible not to.
What would you burn on it? Like, you mean like duplicate a game?
Yeah, maybe duplicate. Yeah, it's probably got enough onboard memory that it can hold X amount of... You know, it probably can hold tons. It's probably got expandable memory. I'm sure you could put an SD card in it.
It's probably something they're not going to advertise, but it can do, because that gets into shady territory.
Mm-hmm. Well, and
it is an emulator.
So, yeah, that's shady too. Like, don't want to make it any darker.
And it looks very plug and play once you know you get it set up. I don't know what kind of hoops you have to jump through to load BIOS files in. I'm sure you have to do some small amount.
I would think it wouldn't even use a BIOS.
How would it deal with the the
I think all CD emulation usually uses
only because no BIOS only be, because they so when they did the when they create emulators for CD based systems, they kind of shortcutted them. They did like a shortcut, so they created it, but they're using the BIOS from the system.
Right.
Well, because it's proprietary.
It was, but if someone is able to basically dump the core from or the BIOS from a CD-based system, and you can just reverse engineer it. I don't know if that's what they're doing.
Well,
but it says
hope so.
It says it plays PlayStation 1, TurboGrafx, Neo Geo CDs, Sega CD, and then also ROMs for NES, Genesis, MAME.
Yeah.
Game Boy, Original Color, Game Boy Advance, so Atari 2600, and TurboGrafx 16, and apparently they're sold separately some Retrode adapter, so you could play cartridges from the Genesis, the Game Boy.
That's an existing product. That's pretty common.
So it's not really playing the games, dumping them is basically like it would be dumping the cartridge. It wouldn't be playing that stuff directly.
Yeah, the
CDs fine. It would be playing directly.
Or
would it be playing like an ISO?
Also runs.
It probably immediately creates an image of the disc.
What's an NAS?
Are you talking about a console?
It says multimedia plays DVDs, CDs, and media from an NAS.
Nano Ass Serpents.
I don't know. If you know it, leave it in the comment section.
Network address.
So, I've seen it running, and it looks... This thing looks like it's at least what it claims to be, and it exists. It's physically exists. This company, whoever's behind it, they were smart enough to engineer fully working prototype
the way it's
before,
supposed to be.
Right, before
yeah, it's supposed to be.
They asked people to invest in it. So I believe this is also going to be a crowdfunded venture when it kicks off. But at least, you know, there are people that have had their hands on it, and you can see video of that, and you can make your own decision. There's no Super Nintendo with duct tape around it inside of a plastic shell.
So it has Wi-Fi, so it probably means, like, if you have a network storage, like a hard drive, and you can just run it off of that. 32 gig storage, included SD card, region free, plays DOS games with DOSBox.
Oh, that's good. That's cool.
For 386 via CD and DOSBox, smartphone keyboard input. Because Bluetooth.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Probably USB keyboard also. USB keyboard and mouse, I think.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. CD via SCUM VM, which is a SCUM emulator. And optimized ports of classic games, Doom, Quake, etc. Interesting.
Yeah. And it. I think... Does it have a projected price point?
It does back... You can back up your disk. Let's see here.
I feel like that's kind of like almost too much. Like it's a... I don't know. What I mean is, it's not...
It's everything you do on a PC.
Yeah, I mean, I feel like it would maybe... They should have focused more on the CD thing, because that's actually, like, new.
Okay,
like,
so this...
Scum and stuff like that. I mean, that's sort of, like, removed from the core
gimmick. We're talking about, like, 25-year-old games.
Yeah, I know.
It's not that complicated.
I'm just saying, like...
So, to answer Frankie is right. Most of CD-based systems require you to copy a BIOS file. to the system, which can be done through Wi-Fi.
I'm sure it's not.
One exception,
I mean, you can find BIOS files.
PlayStation.
Well, no, yeah, it's easy.
Really?
Yeah, you don't need the BIOS for PlayStation, but we recommend adding one for better compatibility.
So they have engineered their own PlayStation core.
It just don't work that well.
But, you know, you can easily find a PlayStation BIOS out there. We're sorry.
Well, I guess that's how they're getting around the legal issue with it, you know what I mean?
I had a harder time in my day finding an Intellivision BIOS file
than I did finding
PlayStation BIOS.
Well, the late great Keith Robinson.
He protected his property, and so, he deservedly so.
Now it says the systems that it does not support. Interesting that they actually go ahead and say this. PS2, Xbox, GameCube, Sega Dreamcast, PSP, UMDs. But again, that's almost, except for PS2, all of those systems use proprietary discs of some fashion.
And if there's a way to add emulators to the system, I'm sure people, even though they don't support those things, I'm sure people can code.
Now, here's
probably the disk drive.
Here's the thing.
The drive itself probably can't read that stuff.
Various technical and cost limitations prevent us from supporting these systems. Perhaps a version 2, get ready for another Kickstarter. Not supported this time, potentially in the future. SNES, odd one. Sega Saturn, 3DO, CDI, PCFX, who cares? Amiga Amiga CD32, Jaguar CD.
That's interesting.
Now, Mike is just going to pass out. FM Tom's Marty.
Oh, man.
Oh, Joe. Joe's not here. And our friend Leon, who just would never be able to accept this. The Pippin! The Pippin doesn't work.
I think the PCFX is the worst.
That's
omission.
A weird list, though.
That's like, you know, where you get your fill of, like, anti games.
These are basically the most difficult. These are the most. I mean, these are more complicated systems to emulate.
Yeah, but still,
except
Super
for
Nintendo,
SNES,
that's what I'm confused about.
What's that?
Super Nintendo. That's the one that I was confused about.
My guess is maybe because of all the special chips and all that they had some issues
FX
with that.
Chip,
but I don't. Why not just? I mean. Typically
Super Nintendo, I mean, it's well emulated if you have a powerful enough system, but it's one of those ones that can choke if you know, the CPU speed isn't there, or your processor speed isn't
probably
there.
Probably better to not have it at all than have shitty.
Yeah, they probably tested it, and they're not happy with the overall compatibility. But again, give it some time, and I'm sure if it's an open source type system where people can make their own things for it, I'm sure that
someone will
figure it out. If that's the case. And even if not, people are going to be buying this for the CD-based stuff, not for to be able to play NES and Super NES.
Yeah, the main drive to this is what a lot of people have been asking for, a Retron that plays the CD stuff.
Exactly. And I think the RetroBlox / Polyamory they dropped the ball in not making the waves as fast as this thing did. Like, this, I saw it quickly, and once they did their press release out on the internet, there were already a ton of YouTubers that had the models that were...
Yeah.
I don't know if it's one that they're passing around, or if they engineered a bunch of them and got them out in the hands of the people. That's the way to do it, man. You get your stuff out there. Let people put their eyes on it.
This at face value, too, is a lot more appealing, because you get this, and that's it. You got it, you know what I mean? The RetroBlox, though, you buy it, and then it's like, okay, I want to play PlayStation. I have to buy the thing that plugs into it.
Yeah, that's...
I want to play Sega CD. It's got it.
I don't get that.
Yeah.
I think one...
It was, again, that was a case. I think that in their case, they wanted something... They sort of went down the road that... Actually, they went down the same road that... the Retro VGS Chameleon went down. The same exact road where they looked at it, and rather than thinking about, like, as Leo said many times, a lot of people, whether they're casual gamers or even, you know, experienced gamers, they want something that they can easily set up and just play and know that it works. Whereas these guys have looked at it as being collectors and like Uber fans first, they've said, "Well, what's my wet dream?
Yeah,
it's a concept."
Well, 20 of those people,
but then they can never realize it in at the end of the day. And that, so you're right; they should have just released something. But the problem is the Polymega, the entire platform was based on this capability that you could run the original cartridges. Even though that required 15 different adapters.
But the base unit had the CD player in it.
Yes.
So the CD portion of the emulation was integral to the, the entire thing. But they were selling it as like, you know, oh, you can buy an NES adapter and a Super NES adapter and a Genesis adapter and a blah, 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 and a blah, blah, blah. And I get like, okay, pick your poison. If your favorite thing in the world is Genesis and you have a massive Genesis physical library... you get the bonus of having the CD part built in, and you could play your Sega CD and your PlayStation 1 and whatever else it's capable of playing. But, like, then, you know, is the company going to overproduce the NES thing? Are people not going to buy that adapter? Are they going to produce them on demand? Like, every quarter they're going to, you know, have like, okay, we're going to ship these out. If you're interested in an NES adapter, you buy it now because we're gonna this is gonna go into production, and then, you know, we have to have the exact numbers. You know, is that the way it's gonna be or what? It just, I don't know. That doesn't sound well.
But then
well
they never even got
out.
The initial one. The initial one was just the CD base and the adapter as one unit that played Genesis games.
Have they aborted?
They're definitely still going, but it's like you're saying, why not just... If this... They kept saying, oh, well, this piece of it is done, it plays all these CD systems. Release it!
Just do
what are you doing?
And then coming soon...
Adapters.
And then never do those.
and then, you know, the prototypes of those adapters would be the things that's worth $1 million.
Yeah, of course.
So, yeah, I mean, it's a crazy time we're living in. It just, if you could... If I could go back in time 10 years and say we would have Nintendo producing plug and plays that are wildly successful, and, you know, companies like Atari trying to get back into the game with Linux based microcomputers, I'd be like, you're fucking crazy.
Yeah,
it's never going to happen.
On its head.
Yeah, I would react to that the same exact way I react to these people. These conspiracy tinfoil hat people every year that come up with a new thing that Sega's getting back to
the Dreamcast too.
Oh my God! What was it?
There was something that they were saying it was good. That it was a new Sega thing. It was there was some rumor about it. It was a
petition.
Yeah,
it was a petition for Sega to make a Dreamcast 2.
There was something people were talking about.
Well, I think there was even people trying to start Kickstarters for it, but I was like, but Sega's not on board.
Oh, that's what it was. It was a Kickstarter.
Yeah, they did a Kickstarter for this.
But it had nothing to do with Sega.
Yeah, and it's like, oh, we want to start a Kickstarter so Sega can do a Dreamcast 2. And it's like, but that's not how it works. You're just going to go to Sega's door and $1 million, please make the Dreamcast 2.
Yeah, and of course, all the news articles would just put Dreamcast 2 coming.
Yeah, Dreamcast 2 coming. It's a little
nice. I would have the clarity.
I just want to say that this is hysterical. I wanted to get a quick, wrap my brain around what the petition was. I typed in Sega petition. There are fucking hundreds of Sega petitions.
One change got game.
Read some of them.
Petition for Sega to cancel Sonic Forces.
Petition
for Sega to remove the DRM off Sonic Mania and Sonic Forces. Petition for Sega to release Sonic 3 Remastered. Petition for Sega to resurrect House of the... People! You cannot petition video game companies! It doesn't work that way!
But I want my OC in Sonic Mania.
They don't care. Oh, so by the way, you're asking about the price. They had an early bird price, obviously, probably...
Have you ever done that, by the way?
We're talking about CD?
Type your name in.
Oh, I do. Yeah.
Type your name and then put The Hedgehog after it.
Yeah,
the results are hilarious.
Leo the Hedgehogs are all yellow. They're all different characters, but they're all yellow. I don't know why.
They're all awful.
So there was
something about that fandom.
There was an early bird CD for $99 plus
That's
shipping.
A great price point.
This $100,
yeah.
Well, this is weird. They offered $100 for a beta... kind of weird. I don't know why you want the beta system. And I think now it might be $125. They have a two-player, which means two controllers for $140. And I don't know.
Those prices aren't that bad, though, because the biggest argument they're going to have against this is the people that have the RetroPie. They're like, why don't you just make that? But making a good RetroPie after you have all the stuff is going to cost you $60 to $100 buying controllers. So that's about the same price. So
it's not going to stop the RetroPie people.
No, I know it's not going to stop them.
It's, why don't you just make a
But
you
know, it's a hard argument.
Oh, by the way, this is closed. Did you know that?
Oh, it finished? Were they...
Well, it was Indiegogo. I mean, there's... I don't know if that the finish. They had 63... Their fixed goal was 50 grand. They raised 31,000 something.
Oh.
It ended? Unsuccessfully?
That's what it says. I don't know. It says closed. Interesting. Or whatever that meant.
Well.
So now you're talking about this and it's vaporware.
Oh, no.
Back to the Polymega!
Huh. Well, we'll do some research on what CD is...
Well, we wasted this episode.
Ah,
dear.
See you in 5 months. Maybe it'll be back.
Interesting. It closed. Yeah, that is interesting. So it...
So closed means failed?
No. They may have...
They could have closed. Well, maybe they had...
They may be going to a different investment platform.
Oh, it was ended prematurely, you're saying?
Yeah, closed is not ended. Closed is closed. Okay. Like, they closed it.
Yeah. Well, somebody probably came up to him and said, I got $1 million. I'll give it to you if you do it. And they're like, okay.
Oh, speaking of successful Indiegogo projects, did anybody here get their... link to the completed Dragon's Lair, the movie teaser, kind of their pitch
probably
trailer.
I don't think I watched it, but
check it out. It's interesting. It's mostly animatic, which for those of you not in the know, it's like stills in segments. It's like just illustrations of what those sequences are going to be, but it's fully voiced.
It's like
storyboarded. But there are sequences that are fully animated in a very Don Bluth style that look excellent. Very smooth, very very interesting. It's a prequel to the story of Dirk and Daphne, like a young Daphne and a young Dirk. We previously discussed that venture, and it was not only was it successful, but it has moved into a stage now where there's some type of fruition. You can see completed work, and now Bluth and Goldman are going to shop that around to studios, and hopefully one of them picks it up, or maybe even an indie studio can pick it up. I think the smartest thing for them to do with something like a Dragon's Lair the movie would be to bundle it with software, you know, like make it, you know, at a price point where they can profit off of selling the movie on Blu-ray with the Blu-ray version of the game remastered, the original Dragon's Lair, or something like that.
I think that makes
sense. As long as we end up at one point getting Space Ace starring Matt Damon. That's yeah. That's what Matt Damon is Space Ace.
Matt Damon. A little hot water.
So, interesting. Interesting times that we're in right now with all these things coming out. It's just craziness. What else has been happening in the world of games? Anything you guys want to discuss?
Have you played Star Fox 2?
No, my SNES Classic remains in its box. I am going to get around to hacking it and adding stuff to it, but unlike the NES Classic, where 250 megabytes of onboard flash storage can fit the entire library, that's nowhere near enough space for Super Nintendo's complete library. So
you got nitpicked.
I got to curate myself a list of the games that I want.
I thought it was like 5-something.
It is, but half of it is used for the OS.
Yeah, the Super NES emulation apparently is much beefier.
You're going to have to decide between having Tin Stars and Blues Brothers.
Hey, man.
I just brought it up because I think I'm probably one of the, like, the rarity, but I think that I can see why they canceled it.
What do you mean?
Star Fox 2.
Yeah.
I think a lot of people have...
I'm probably one of the exceptions. I think this game's not really that good.
I know so many people are like, oh, why didn't they make it? It's Star like, Fox well, you just want something
it's
else
okay,
to
play.
Star Fox 1 wasn't exactly...
no.
Light your pants on fire.
The lines were in the sand. The 64 was coming out. This thing was taking too long to come out. And a lot of people, too, they played it, and they're like, it's really short.
That's not even what bothers me. There's something like weird about it. It feels like a bunch of like. It's like you're time managing.
Yeah.
So it's like, do this thing for 30 seconds. Now do this thing for another 30 seconds, and make sure this thing doesn't get hit by missiles.
Mm-hmm. I was a couple Navas ago when the Super Nintendo Classic
came out.
Let me
just fly and shoot.
We set one up, and someone was playing it. And as I'm watching them play it, I'm thinking, I was like, this really. Unfortunately, seems like a cash grab sequel. You know what I mean? Let's pump something out real quick to make some quick money on a popular IP before it's over.
Well, I have played Star Fox Zero, and that's a shitty game too.
Yeah.
Is it? Really? Because that looks like that looks like 64.
It's unfortunate.
It's so hard to play. Physically hard to play,
and it's worthless right now. It's like you can get Star Fox 2 for $20, and there's no other like. First party IP on the Wii U.
Oh, Zero, you mean?
Yeah. Star Fox Zero, yeah. None of the first party Nintendo IPs that haven't had a sequel, like Splatoon, obviously is worthless because Splatoon 2's out.
And it's made by Platinum, which kills me because there's such a great
development.
So,
what did they do with the controls that messed it up?
It's a combination of the motion sensors on the controller on the Wii pad. You also can't use the classic Wii controller. You have to use the full-size
gamepad. Yeah.
And the cockpit view is like you're on the Wii pad, and you have to hold it up in front of you, but then there's stuff, your third-person view with the ship is on your TV screen, and it sounds like a lot of things that were conceptualized and sounded like a good idea, and they went all the way through to execution, and it's not a great game, and the things don't mechanically work really well, and it's not fun to play.
So basically made a Star Fox game and then ruined it.
yeah, but historically,
I like
does,
the idea. I mean, Star I like
does
Star
Fox
Star
have
like
a
Star
lot
Fox
of great
sequel.
Sequels? I don't think so. I think the first one and the N64 one people love, and then the rest of them are all over the place.
Well, because the rest of them they introduce a whole bunch of different mechanics. People just want to fly forward and shoot things.
that's just not how Nintendo wants to do things.
They
want to
fly in a triangle and shoot other triangles.
Yes. Yeah,
right?
But Nintendo always wants to innovate and start something new. So even if the people want what they already had, Nintendo's like, no, that's not what you want. Let me tell you what you want.
Yeah, sometimes it works, sometimes it doesn't.
Yeah, no, I agree.
Yeah, I will get around to playing Star Fox 2. From what I've seen, it seems fine to me. If you like the first one,
I actually I got 100% on it because
how much time did that take? Like 30 minutes?
It takes you 30 minutes to beat the game.
Yeah, heard
but in order to accumulate because there's 3 different difficulties you have to get like a certain amount of points to get like certain ranks, things like that. But in order to unlock, like, this, there's, in order to, you have to unlock this, like, special area, kind of like it's Mario World, where you get all the power-ups to make it easier to play. Doing all that stuff, I mean, I put time into it, maybe like a week's worth of time, just to say, like, you know, because it's like, kind of like getting a brand new Super Nintendo game.
Sure.
So it was worth it, but nevertheless, I walked away from the game feeling like it was like, eh.
Empty.
With our favorite segment, Show and Tell.
The only one sitting here.
Yep.
Yeah, right. I know the battery's dead. All right, so here we've got the Retro HQ. Neo Geo Pocket, Neo Geo Pocket Color Flash Card. Hold on to that one second.
That's a good viewing angle.
I have it. This is what the full package looks like. You have the... like a custom shell, he made a nice label. You know, so this is a
The gentleman behind the
Atari Lynx. Yeah. Yes, he's also done the Atari Lynx. He's currently working on the Jaguar flash card as we speak. Anyway, so he did Neo Geo Pocket Color, and basically, as you as Frankie will lament, there's no backlighting to this dumb thing. So here it is. Basically, so you can put all the ROMs that the system had on an SD card. However, I have to, where do I switch here? D? Oops. Oh, that loaded the game. All right, well, that's loading the game.
So like most flash carts, it has a memory where it'll play the current thing that's loaded in there.
Well, there's about 16 meg of flash memory. It's loading Sonic, by the way, Sonic Pocket Adventure. So I play this sideways. So there's about 16 meg of flash memory on there that you can load, and you know the games load pretty much immediately. However, I don't know if there's a way. Way to get back into the...
hey, there's Mike's face in the reflection.
No, that's only a reset. No, I think I gotta shut it off. Yeah, right.
Without the battery, how will you know your horoscope?
So, I think it loads... Once you've opened it once, it goes back into the memory. Alright, so there it is, Retro HQ... Anyway, so it's got the flash there. You've got about 16 meg total to fit games that you load onto there. Now,
so you can fit more than one into the.
Yeah, you could probably fit like 7 or 8. Huh.
But you could put the whole library on an SD card, though, right?
Yeah. So, wait a minute. B. Oh, option. Duh. You hit option, and then you can go to the SD card, and then you can. Fish your way around there, and it's best to put the ROMs in like folders, smaller folders, because it loads them quicker, you know. And then there you have it. You know, it has all the ROMs. It pretty much, I believe, plays everything. Now, the only thing is, so if you want to, let's say, these are Japanese. I don't know what the hell they are, but let's say you want to play, I don't know, Fatal Fury. So what you do is you select it from your SD card. Now it has to flash it onto the flash memory in the unit itself. So what the guy had to do was he put X amount of flash memory that you can write onto, and it honestly goes slow. And there's really basically he said there's nothing he can do. It's just the way the Neo Geo Pocket is.
So this is like the Pocket equivalent of the, really, the Neo Geo Flash cartridge that came out recently.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
I've heard that that takes a while to load.
Well, no, we got one for the store for the MVS back there. And if you do like Super Baseball, it's fine. It takes a couple of minutes. It's still a little too long. But then if you do something like Waku Waku 7, which is one of the bigger games, you got to go
5 minutes, right?
Yeah, you put it on, you select it, you go make a pot of coffee, and by the time the coffee's ready, you play Waku Waku 7.
But you know what it looks like? Did that cartridge fix the voltage issues that were making the TV wobble?
No,
because it's not wobbling anymore.
I figured it out. It was the monitor somehow put itself in a weird setting where it was auto-correcting something.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Because I noticed, I came into Nava, and I noticed that the store Neo Geo, the TV was no longer, like, bouncing.
Yeah.
It was doing a weird visual wobble for months.
I had this weird thing because we had the original 2 slot we had in there got this graphical issue where all the sprites would get screwed up, and we knew that was the system. Then we put that 2 slot in there, and that's when it started to wobble. We put the old one back in. There was no wobble, so we assumed that NVS had a wobble.
Right.
And then I found out I just had to hit auto-adjust on the monitor, and it fixed it.
Oh, awesome.
But so I think it was that.
The load times for the MVS and AES the same?
For the ROMs, you know what I mean? It's different for each ROM, but the bigger the game, the longer it takes.
Somebody told me that it could be the SD card. Like, if you don't use a certain SD card, it could be slower.
Yeah, it's not terribly slow.
20.
20?
Well, that was a problem that I was having with the flash cartridge on the 3DS.
Wow, that took that long? Because MVS, I get it. Those are, like, multiple
It's just basically, so, I don't know. This is Fatal Fury is a little bit bigger, and but it starts within 2 seconds.
Yeah, after it's loaded to the memory.
The guy's designed it said it's just a limitation of the system.
I'd believe that.
Whatever bus speed or whatever we're talking about here.
There's probably some way to.
I know that SD card class speed and transfer speed absolutely make a difference because I had purchased that 3DS flash card over the last holiday season when Nintendo released the new 3DS with their swappable faceplates for $100. I had to get one, and I kept that one stock. I didn't do a custom firmware on it, and I bought the flash card, and it would crash because I was using a very, very, very slow SD card, and it constantly needs to access what's on the SD card, and I also had to replace the SD card that was inside the 3DS itself, the one that you used to, because the flash card talks to that one, and if that's not a matching Class 10 or whatever the top of the line, the fastest flash card you could buy now, I think it's Class 10. If you don't have that matching inside your 3DS, then you wind up with crashes on that thing. But once I replaced both of those with those, it almost completely eliminated that.
What else
do we have?
So I went to New York Comic Con, as usual, and they had a panel for the 25th anniversary of Mortal Kombat. They had a number of the principal designers, and I had them sign a Mortal Kombat 2 arcade flyer that I got off eBay. And basically they had Ed Boon, who was the primary designer, John Tobias, co-designer and artist, John Vogel, who's the lead artist, and Dan Forden. What was his nickname, Mike?
The Toasty guy, right?
Toasty. The Toasty That's guy. Funny. He was... they were all there, and I had them sign that. It was a pretty cool panel.
I'm sure a million people made him say Toasty.
Yeah, well... And then they were giving these out. This is this is Mortal Kombat 25 years, like a keychain.
I didn't know they had the 25th anniversary. Is that why they're showing all those videos online now of like the making of? They're showing the screen cap.
Yeah.
I guess that makes sense. They released that now because when I was seeing the videos, like, why is this going viral now? Like, how come people haven't talked about this before? But I guess they just didn't have access to it.
Now that was the cool stuff. Here's the crap. Ready?
Great.
Ready?
Ready.
Leo will be using this, not me, because it's kind of musty. It's an R-Zone!
Awful.
Awful.
I've never played it.
You bought that at the convention?
No, it was like $25 on eBay. I said I just had
25 bucks? Not worth 20.
I know it's not. It's just funny.
Joe has the...
you got to pull the thing down.
Joe has the one...
No, the little flip thing in there.
The Game Boy version.
See that? This.
Where? Oh, that comes down.
Yeah.
Oh.
Because that's what you look at.
Yeah, no, I thought it was weird. I was looking at myself.
Yeah, well.
That's it. It's not very exciting.
Better graphics.
So that's like a... Yeah. What do they call those things in Dragon Ball Z?
Oh, the scanners.
Leo is over 9,000.
I don't.
Do you see anything?
No, I can't. Do you know if it works?
Yeah, it works.
I hear it. I don't see it.
Hit a different button. I don't know.
Oh, wait. There we go. Oh!
What's happening?
It plays a reflection up there. I didn't know that. Oh, that's so weird.
Oh, I see. Yeah.
Yeah.
It's garbage.
Yeah, it really is. This is... No. This is so stupid. Because all of it is... That's exactly like the Tiger handhelds.
Yeah, it is.
Except uncomfortable.
Right.
Does it play the same games? Because I had a Tiger handheld that played those kind of cartridges.
They're similar.
They had a lot of Sega arcade...
Oh, this is terrible.
Well, it's rather like right in the center of your head.
Yeah.
But that was like...
You got that squealing in your ear too.
Turn it off.
Turn it off.
Joe has the one that's like a Game Boy. It uses those cartridges.
Yeah.
Yes.
But he also
there was the one. It's a lot more money. There's one that's about this big that has this gigantic like one of those like Game Gear magnifiers, but it's built in so that it's like somewhat visible.
I forget if it's that one or this one. Joe has one and it's sealed and it drives him nuts because it's for the museum and nothing's supposed to be sealed, but they can't open it and show what it looked like in the box because it has a head, like a bubble inside of it shaped like a face. So as soon as you open it, it doesn't stay in there anymore, so you lose the appeal of the package.
It's that one then. That's the only one that went on your head was the original one.
Then yeah, that's it. And it pisses him off because he's got to have two.
Yeah, any more crap?
Well... No, that was it for me. My crap.
I was fortunate enough to get my hands on the complete set of the Super Impulse Tiny Arcades. I turned it off. There's a switch on there. So,
I see.
This is the Ms. Pac-Man.
It's a very big switch for such a tiny cabinet.
And as you can see, it's shaped like a classic arcade cabinet, unlike some of the other mini arcade offerings that we've seen from the company Bridge Direct. You'll find those at Bed Bath & Beyond and Walmart and Target.
Anywhere else you could buy useless crap.
These have made an appearance at the restaurant chain Cracker Barrel.
Ugh.
Who also...
it's cheap filling food.
Good breakfast.
I didn't touch anything. It just starts.
No, it's a demo.
Oh, okay.
It's like the arcade. It has an attract mode. And it has a light-up marquee, which is just fantastic. I can't really get a good angle on it here.
But
so you can see it lights up, which I think is super cool. The control, the joystick on it, it'll go to sleep too.
Oh.
After a while. It saves battery life. Three AAAs. The joystick is a four-way, and it's super responsive, nice and tight. You can actually play a really good game of Ms. Pac-Man or Pac-Man or Space Invaders or Galaxian. Those are the four that are available right now. And what else is interesting is all four of those games are on every single board in all of these. So they've already been modified with a four-way dip switch.
Yeah, the way they change each game, like in factory, is there's just jumps. There's like four connectors in there, and each one goes to a different game. So they just put switches in there that do the jumps for you.
So these are, from what I can tell, the games on them are built from the ground up. I don't think they're actual ROMs, but they're complete. They've got the attract screens, they've got the intermissions, they've got the high score. They're all one player. There's no two player mode in any of the games, but they're great. I mean, this is about like 3.5 inches tall. The screen is maybe an inch and a half big, but it's a great resolution.
Perfect ports for what they got to work with.
Yeah, and the cabinets have the artwork that is like the original arcade cabinets. It's really great for $20 a piece. They're excellent. They're actually playable. A lot of fun. You can make Christmas ornaments out of them. You could throw them on your desk at work. Great conversation starters at parties.
And what kind of batteries do those use?
Three AAA.
Three Three AAA?
Ugh.
Yeah.
I suspected that the hardware inside of them was Arduino, because I have the Arduino Tiny Arcade, which is similar but more expensive, and it has a rechargeable battery in it, and it has a SD card slot where you can add games to it. And I suspected that because, A, this control panel is exactly the same hardware that's on the Tiny Arcade by Arduino. And when they demoed these at Comic-Con or Toy Fair or wherever they first showed these off, they were running actual Arduino boards with the Tiny Arcade
games which games do they have?
Pac-Man, Ms. Pac-Man, Galaxian, and Space Invaders.
The Space Invaders, I think, is a little... I mean, it's cool that they have it, but it's a little weird at the same time, because then they have to get the Taito licensing.
Yeah,
because so everything else is Namco.
Yep, Namco and Taito. But you know, these companies like making money, so yeah. they're you know, Namco has never shied away from licensing.
And as of lately, Taito has been really whoring out Space Invaders.
Yeah, you got the intermission. And Leo's playing it upside down, and he got to the intermission.
I've fixed a lot of Pac-Man machines.
And see, you've got the alternate levels in this Pac-Man. You've got the blue stages, and then it goes into the third color, whether pink or orange.
I'm curious if it has the kill screens.
Well,
did they make it that perfect?
I don't know if the batteries will last long enough to get the kill screen. They probably will.
We'll just have to modify it to use an AC adapter. Just rip her open.
I'm sure someone will figure out whether or not they have the kill screens. I know
somebody has to,
the ghosts now. Don't go in their arcade patterns. People have already tried that, and they've stated, nope, the patterns don't work.
They also changed something a little bit. I'm pretty sure in the original game, when the ghosts are in their house, don't they still turn blue? They don't turn blue in this.
Maybe in a revision, or maybe they change it in a revision.
I know in regular Pac-Man, at least, if the ghosts are still in their house, you get a power pellet. They will still turn blue. They'll just be stuck in there, so it's useless to you.
So. Yeah, I don't think that these are actual ROMs. I think these are coded proprietary, but they're great. They play as authentic as you would want them to play. So, you can get these at Cracker Barrel. Later, they will be available at GameStop and Walmart.
Yeah. I think somebody said they already started getting them to pop up at Walmart already.
Yeah. So, yep, that's it for show and tell, looks like. And we'll be back as long as I don't get any kind of grave illness again. And even if I do, I got to teach other people how to use the recording
equipment. Yeah.
So, all right, that's it for another episode of the Digital Press Podcast. I don't even have a clue what number we're on right now.
Alpha.
We don't know what happened to Mike.
Zeta. Theta.
Mike
disappeared.
Mike went into the bathroom and never came out.
I didn't say
he's
that.
In the Upside Down. Stranger Things, Season 3. All right,
I think
say bye-bye.
Bye-bye. Bye-bye.